All right, 1 John in chapter number 3, and we are going to just look at the first two verses. As I have been teaching this book, you know that I have been trying to teach it from the standpoint of attempting to make it a book of assurance, or trying to find assurance in this book. And sometimes you have to force that association. I mean, that's not really the main purpose behind it. I think there's 7 places in this book where it says, you know. And there is a central theme of this book is a book of assurance. But we're trying to find it in every chapter. We're trying to find a way that we can use this book as a sense of encouragement, a sense of assurance. And as I said, there's some places here where we have to force that association, but tonight is not one of those. Tonight is not one of those places where we have to force the association. It is very evident in our reading. So 1 John chapter number 3 and verse number 1. And as we read, sometimes we don't really read it with emotion. But think about this. John said, behold, let this grab your attention. The word actually means see or take notice. So what John's getting ready to tell us is important for us as the children of God. It's what the recipients of the epistle, it's one of the things that John really wanted them to wrap their arms around. And truly, it's something that is important for us in our lives. As I talk to the men about this world in which we live, in our prayer room this evening, and recognizing that we live in a world that God told us that we would live in the midst of a crooked and perverse world. And every day, it becomes more and more evident that we live in the midst of a crooked and perverse world. And as we attempt to live a Christian life in the middle of this crooked world, sometimes it's difficult. John wanted the recipients of this letter to take note of the fact that even though you're living in the midst of a crooked and perverse world, behold, take notice of the fact. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. That's an impactful thought for us today. The manner of love that God has bestowed upon us, and that we are called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. One of the things that we know as we study the Word of God is we know that there are different Greek manuscripts that are translated into the English Bible. The Greek manuscript that is used to translate the King James Bible is called the Textus Receptus. It was written by a man by the name of Erasmus. There are many other Greek manuscripts out there, and from what I've studied and been told, they are 98% the same. There's only 2% different in some of those. Those that hold to the King James only Bible, they talk about the things that those other translations omit. Well, there are some things that the Textus Receptus omits also, that all of the other manuscripts will have something in it, but the King James omits it. This verse is one of those. Let me read to you the emphatic statement that's added to this. It would go something like this. Behold what manner of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God, and so we are. John wanted to make the emphatic statement, and so we are. We want to understand that we are the sons of God, and we need to understand it with emphasis. It's not a potential that we might be, but that we are. And folks, that should astound us, that the God of all glory calls us His Son. That should encourage us, because if we're the sons of God, what's the outcome of that? What's the impact of that? What's the benefit of that? And of course, if God's going to call us His Son, that should bring us assurance. So this is the thing we're going to look at tonight. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. What manner of love? That phrase is used a couple other times, what manner of, which we will get to that in just a moment. But I want you to think for just a moment about the love which God bestows. And when we think about the love that God bestows, of course, this love here is agape love. And we know that the agape love is a love that is undeserved. It is a love that you do not acquire this love by merit. You do not acquire this love by any other means other than the grace of God. Behold, the love of God that He has bestowed upon us, a love that doesn't seek anything in return, a love that knows that it cannot be repaid, that manner of love that is freely given, that love that originates with God. It's the same love that He's going to talk about in 1 John 4:7-8, which we sing, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. This love that He's talking about, that He loves us with, is the love that only God has. That love, He bestowed it upon you. Think about the impact of that. Now, let's look at a couple other passages of Scripture where the phrase, what manner of love, because what I hoped for us to see out of this is how love is unexplainable, inexplicable. This love that He's talking about. Look at 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 11. Again, we're looking for places where that phrase, what manner of, is used. And the point behind this is it's going to show us that this love is unexplainable. Here, Peter is talking to them about the coming of the Lord and how it's going to come as a thief in the night, and the elements are going to pass away with fervent heat. That's in verse number 10. But you get to verse number 11. It says, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Since that's going to happen, what should be the outcome in your life? What manner of? Now let's look at Matthew chapter number 8 and verse number 27, because this verse of Scripture is what really helps me to get a hold of what John is saying, what manner of love. Here is when Jesus calms the storm. Let's just jump up to verse number 23. And when he was entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? The thought and the idea that you get there when he says, what manner of man is this, is, listen, we can't even comprehend who this is that is in our midst, that even the winds and the waves obey him. Again, it's incomprehensible, unable to be understood, how that Jesus could calm the storm. These men were so amazed by the power of Jesus that they couldn't comprehend, what manner of man is this? So keeping that thought in your mind, go to the book of John, 1 John, our text, just think of this. Behold, what manner of love? A love that is unexplainable. A A love that is incomprehensible. It's also a love that the world does not understand. That's why we're going to get in just a minute, therefore the world knows him not, therefore it knows us not, which we'll talk about that in just a minute. But the world doesn't comprehend. What I think that John is trying to express here is that God has bestowed upon us an incomprehensible love. His love amazes me. His love should amaze you. And John wanted the recipients of this letter to understand that God has loved them with an incomprehensible love. That's why it's going to build assurance in us. If God spared not His own Son, but freely gave Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? I mean, if God loved us enough to give His only begotten Son, if He loved us that much, how great is my Father's love for me? It's beyond all measure. It builds assurance in you if you know that you're loved. Doesn't it? By the way, that's one of the things that when I raise kids, you know, Mark Anthony will soon be 19. He's going off to college, and really my job with him is done. As a matter of fact, I told him that he'll see a different me. I'm gone from trying to instill in him these principles. Now I'm going to be a coach. Now I'm going to be an encourager, trying to stand behind and help him and push him on. One of the principles that I've tried to instill in my kids was I wanted them to know that they are loved. I've talked about this often, that one of the things that was impactful for me about Kimberly and her family is that they told one another that they loved one another. I mean, that was impactful for me. The first time that Kimberly and I went to play cards together, it wasn't a date, we played cards together, played Rook, and I went to her house and picked her up, and she went over and gave her dad a hug and kissed him on the cheek and said, he said, I love you. And she said, I love you, Dad, and all of that. That was just amazing to me. And I didn't know anything about that. It was difficult for me to comprehend because, you know, I told you the one time that I remember my dad telling me that he loved me was right before he went into brain surgery. And he didn't know whether he was going to live or not. And he said, come in here, son. I got something I want to tell you. And how difficult it was for him to tell me that he loved me, and how difficult it was for me to tell my dad that I loved him. Because of that, I grew up wondering whether my parents loved me or not. I shouldn't have, because it was very evident the sacrifices that they made, but I was too young and too dumb to comprehend the sacrifices that they were making for me. But I wondered, one of the things I wanted my kids to grow up and I was for them to know that I loved them. Well, they were very young. I used to tell them a lot. In their teenage years, I've kind of gone back, been going back and reevaluating what I've done, how I've done with the things that I thought were important, the things that I wanted to do with my kids, and I've kind of reevaluated what did I do and how did I do and all those things. And the one place which was, it was very vital and key to me that I wanted to make sure that I instilled in my kids was that they knew that I loved them. And I don't really know whether I told them I loved them enough or not. But how impactful it is for us to know that we are loved. It makes all the difference in the world. That we know that no matter what, our family loves us. That's impactful for us. And for us to think about the fact, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. How impactful it is for us, and how much assurance it's going to build for us if we know the Father of all loves us. The Creator of the heavens and earth, He loves us with a love that's incomprehensible. Folks, that should be impactful to us in our Christian lives. just remember that God loves you. If you're His child, He loves you. And He gave His only begotten Son to die on a cross for your sin. He sent His Holy Spirit to come into your heart to be your comforter and to lead you and guide you and to direct you. And let that be that which encourages you as you look forward to the future, like we talked about this morning in our messages. We prepared for the future. We prepare for what is in store for us. Let the love of God that He has bestowed upon us, that incomprehensible love, be that which urges us and stirs us on. Because what manner of love is this? That He loves us. Truly, His love is amazing. Then we understand what manner of love the Father hath bestowed. You know, when I thought about bestowed, the first thought that came into my mind was really bequeathed. It would be like a prince receiving his, you know, his honor and them taking, you know, you see it on TV, they taking the sword and they placing it upon the prince's or the new king's shoulder and the kingdom being bestowed to that individual. The word bestowed really means to be endowed with or placed upon. The love of God is placed upon you. And it is a love which is outside of man. It's not a human love. It's not a love that we can express to one another. It's the love of God. And He places it upon you. And because this love that is outside of the natural realm, it's a love that men really don't understand. Again, beloved, let's love one another, for love is of God. This love that originates with God, you'll not find it anywhere else. Nowhere else. You won't find it between family members, brothers and sisters and moms and dads. You won't find it between husbands and wives. People are said to love nature. The love of God, that love does not compare. It's said someone loves sports. That love does not compare. Any type of love that you can imagine, the greatest love that you can imagine in this world is fails in comparison to the love that God has and the love that He has bestowed upon us. And those of us who are the children of God, we know what that love is. We understand it. But we also understand it's a love that the world doesn't understand. You take your coworker that's not saved, and you begin to talk to them about the love of God. They have no idea what you're talking about. They can't get a hold of it. They can't get a grip on it because it's a love that originates with God. It's a love, it's a supernatural love. So they don't comprehend that love. You try to express to them what you're feeling in your heart and what you're feeling in your life and why you're dedicated to God the way you are, and they don't understand it. You try to explain to someone about salvation and what God has done in your heart and how He's changed your life, and you try to explain that love that you have. And you try to explain it and you can't explain it because they don't get it. Because they don't have the Holy Spirit in their heart enabling them to get a hold of it. Again, that's why we have difficulty trying to explain salvation. Tell me about this salvation, and you try to explain what's going on in your heart and what's going on in your life and why you love the Lord the way that you do, and you try to express it, but they can't understand it because it's unnatural. It's supernatural, I guess is the better way to say it. But this love that originates with God that He has bestowed upon you, when you are a recipient of that love, it's also why that love builds assurance. Because you know that the Lord has given you something. You can't explain it. You know it's something that originated outside of you. It's not something that you stirred up and said, well, I'm going to try to do better, and I'm going to quit doing this, and I'm going to quit doing that, and I'm going to start doing these things. You know that the love that the Father has bestowed upon you, it's not something that you've stirred up within yourself. It's not a checklist that you've checked off and said, okay, I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done this, and so therefore God loves me. Or I haven't done this, and I haven't done that, and I haven't done this, therefore God loves me. It's not a checklist that you're marking off that now you can say, I know that God loves me. No, it's something inside of you. It is the presence of the Holy Spirit. It is the very presence of God that's inside of you. And that love that you know that you have received, it builds assurance in you because you know the love is of God. It's not something that I dreamt up. It's not something that I've drummed up. It's God. It's the Holy Spirit in me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And it's in there, and it builds assurance. That love that He has bestowed upon me, of course, it builds assurance. There are some things that people cannot take away from me. No matter what, someone might look at my life and they may question me in lots of different ways. They may question my parenting skills. They may question my ability to be a pastor. They may question my personality and, well, that doesn't seem like a Christian. Looks like you'd be better at this and be better than that. And you know what? They may question me, and they may be very right in bringing those questions out. But there's one thing they can't take away from me, and that's when I was born again. I've been changed, and I know it. When the Lord wrapped His arms of love around me, they cannot take that away from me. No matter what they do, they can't take that away from me. It's that love that the Father has bestowed upon me. And then we find out that this love makes us sons. Not only are we sons, but we're called sons. I don't know how some people feel about this, but I know that, but this makes an impact for others. Come here, Mark Anthony. Did we go out somewhere? We're umpiring baseball together right now. Making him a little money. Making me a little money. So we have a play the other night. He makes the call. You know what's umpiring? Somebody didn't like it. But anyway, we go over in between innings, and I say, this is my son. And that coach says, oh, that's your son? Yeah, that's my son. Oh, I didn't know that. But anyway, hey, we're divvying up the money, and I told the lady, I said, you just need to give it all to me. He goes, no, you're not getting my money. I was like, yeah, you need to give me all that money, or at least you need to give me a finder's fee. And she says, is that your son? I'm like, well, that's my son. You see, I'm proud to call him my son, right? And that may not mean much to him, but you know what? There's people when you come up and say, this is my son. You know, we're proud of that, right? You can go on now, son. I've embarrassed you enough. And that wasn't in my notes anyway, or I would have foretold you, or I told you beforehand. But you know what? This is my son. I'm proud of that. And think about this. The God who said, let there be light, and there was light, wraps his arm around your shoulder. And he's going downtown, and let me introduce you to somebody. And he wraps his arm around your shoulder and says, this is my child. This is my son. Not only are we the sons of God, but God calls us His sons. That's generally a statement that I'm proud of you. I'm proud to call you my son. Not only are we the sons of God, but we're called the sons of God. Remember what when God talked about His Son? God audibly said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." I fully expect to hear one day, "This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Again, this is one of those statements that sometimes we don't take the time to pause and think about the impact of that. Think about, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." That's not just, well, that's just some people, they didn't deserve to be saved, but I went and loved them anyway. I went and saved them anyway, and they just happen to be the recipients of my grace. No. He wraps His arm. "This is my child." And if you're saved today, that's you. Let that build some assurance in you that God calls you His son. See, one day we will be presented as the sons of God. And since we are His sons, then also we know that we're going to inherit as sons, right? We're adopted into the family of God. We're going to inherit that to which we have no right, all because of the grace of God. Wow. And such we are. And such we are. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, and such we are." There is no doubt we are the sons of God. You see, it is the incomprehensible nature of this love that causes the world to know us, to not know us. "Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not." The world cannot comprehend. What this world sees, the things that this world understands, is only the things that they can see. "The natural man receiveth not the things of God, for they are foolishness unto him, for they are spiritually discerned." The world, if they can't see it, if they can't touch it, if it's not tangible to them, they don't get it. They don't understand. So when it comes to the love of God and why we love God the way that we do and why we serve Him the way that we do, the world doesn't get it because they can't see it. But we do understand. You see, what the world sees is the things of the world. This world is their portion. Also, we know that Satan has blinded their eyes so that they cannot look beyond this life. They can't look beyond this life into the spiritual realm. But you and I can. Because our eyes have been opened by the Holy Spirit of God, we can look beyond the physical, and we can look to the spiritual, and we can look beyond that which is tangible into that which is supernatural, and we can serve God and love God because we understand the spiritual truths of the Word of God, and we can understand the spiritual truth of walking by faith and not by sight. It's all because we have the love of God inside of us, and enables us to love God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, and to serve Him with our whole heart, because we understand the spiritual aspect of the love of God that He has bestowed upon us. And the world, since it can't understand the love, the world is not going to understand our allegiance or our dedication to something that we have not seen. The world doesn't get a hold of that. Let's look at 1 Peter, chapter number 1. I got to tell you this in the way of joke, and you're going to say, "Yeah, you're probably right." But anyway, Jason Schultz, one of the five guys, said, he just put a comment on our little Five Guys site that only we can see, and he made the comment that, yeah, Brother Mark can preach a little bit. John Fry put on there, preach a little bit, more like he can preach a lot, mostly 40, 50 minutes. I'm preaching a lot tonight, I know. I'm sorry. 1 Peter 1, 7 and 8. That the trial of your faith being more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be with, tried with fire. You see, we're not serving for gold that perisheth. Might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You see, the love that we have and the dedication that we have, even though we have not seen him, we have experienced that love, and we serve him because of that love. You see, we recognize that the world didn't love Jesus. The world didn't receive Jesus. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. And they didn't love him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He created this world, and they didn't know him. So, since they didn't recognize Jesus, and they didn't know him, the expectation is that the world will not know us. The world persecuted him. The world's going to persecute us. The world did not respect him. The world is not going to respect us, because they don't understand the manner of love that has been bestowed upon us. But you do know the manner of love. You do comprehend. You do see with spiritual eyes. Let that bring assurance into you. As you live your life in the midst of a crooked and perverse world, let the manner of love that God has bestowed upon you give you assurance to walk faithfully in these last days. Heavenly Father, we just pray that you add your blessings to your word, and we thank you for the blessings that we find in your word. And we pray, God, that you just help us to understand your love, to know your love. Help us to be astounded by your love. Help us to reciprocate that love, because truly, your love is amazing. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.